Welcome to your typical shonen protagonist. He's Kai. I'm Kels, and welcome to Fruits Basket Season 1. Kai, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm happy to be away from the spooky, scary occult stuff because I was having nightmares.
Yeah, man. Watching Vampire Nights again will really do it to you. But no, of course you had to choose one of the most feelsiest shows to follow up. I don't know, vampire incest of all time.
Yeah, I did, man. It's a show that I found last year, Fruits Baskets, 2019. I didn't watch the original. The original was a great show, I hear, but I just wanted to start from something new, and boy howdy, was it a ride. I love it.
I agree, man. First season, 26 episodes. Why didn't we do the whole thing? Because, I don't know, I had to watch it all at regular speed, so, yeah. But it's one of those things that where it's like, it's in, I don't know, 25 episodes, but you watch it, and you're like, I invested a bunch of time in this, but it wasn't a slog. It wasn't rough to sit through. Like, I was engaged the entire time. I don't know where we wound up, but I saw some stuff happen, and it was really good.
Yeah, man. And, like, as someone who watched it as it aired, I definitely would say it's a better experience as you watch it when it's airing, because it leaves you off on those cliffhangers, and it, like, lets you process how you feel from each episode, because it can be a lot. Especially in season two, when stuff happens like back to back, I'm like, whoa, howdy. Like, I needed this week to process how I felt because, pajibis.
Man, and the big thing for me is it deals with such like real, like personal struggles, you know? The spectrum of what a person can go through, male, female, old, young, dealing with family. Dealing with peers, like, I look at Smile Down the Runway, and it's like 12 episodes of, you know, pretty much the same thing. Like, it's a good show, but all of the story beats are sort of the same thing over and over. You know, I'm going to be the greatest, and I'm going to have struggles, but I'm going to, like, continue to be the greatest. Between, like, two characters, or two main characters. Where, yeah. Like, this... You've got three main characters, but like an entire family of crazy stuff and relationship like facets to deal with. And they're almost an infinite source of interactions to explore, which is why this works so well, even with it being so long.
Yeah, and just the amount of detail given to every character is wild. Like, you see characters in, normally when I see characters in an anime intro or like introduced, I don't feel like I'm going to get the same amount of exposure for those characters as I'm going to get for the main cast. But in Fruits Basket, I feel like each and every character I feel like any character I see, I am getting information on. Like, I am comfortable with this amount. Like, they don't leave me wanting more with any of the characters that I've seen. Like, there's no character who pops up on the screen and I'm like, wow, I wish I seen more of that character or what's going on, because they get their time and they get their moment. So it was really nice to see that in a show. I love it.
So let's get into it. Off the top, big ol' spoiler warning. For the sake of doing it, we're spoiling at least season one of Fruits Basket.
Yes, huge spoilers.
So off the top, like, what's the show about?
So, the show is about our main character, Toru Honda, who has lost both her parents, and she's a high schooler, and she's homeless. So, she's living, like, out in the woods camping with a tent, and then she's stumbled upon by, like, the most popular boy in school, Yuki Soma, and his uncle, or cousin. His cousin.
One of the Soma family members. So yes. The Soma family is enormous. And one of them has like a house in the area.
Yes. It's that old Like, and as I went on, I realized the Somas were what you would call a clan instead of like an immediate family in America. So that's why they're so huge.
Yeah, it's like having you, your cousins, your great grandparents, like anyone that sort of looks like a Soma living in the same general vicinity.
Yeah.
But imagine that in Japan.
Yeah. So the family, the Soma family, or this branch of the Soma family, Yuki, takes in Toru. And they're like, hey, you shouldn't be living out here homeless. Like, especially like with all the weather and everything is going on. So she's like, oh, well, thank you. And there's like, in the first episode, there's a little bit of a murmur because it's like, are you sure she should be living here? Like, they're like, yeah, that's fine. You know, we'll be careful. And it's like, okay, why would you need to be careful? Like, which had me on heels. I'm like, automatically, something's going on. And then we see Soma's other cousin, Kyo, barge in the house and tries to fight Yuki because that's the relationship they have as cousins. And he misses Yuki and lands on Toru, and Toru embraces him. And when, like, that embrace happens.
Yeah, when he hit that table and it knocked Yuki and when it knocked Toru in the head, like, everybody mad, and he mad at himself. And then, boom, we find out the super secret.
Yes. So when the Soma family gets hugged, or when select members of the Soma family gets hugged by the opposite sex, they turn into animals of the Zodiac.
Yeah, based on the Zodiac. So there is one member per the family that is sort of possessed, imbued with the spirit of one of the Zodiac animals. And yes, there's a delineation between the Soma family that has Zodiac spirits in them, which is referred to like the inner family, and then those who are just called chillin' doing other Soma business, not even aware that the Zodiac spirits exist, which is like the outer Zodiac. And one of the first things we really see is that the story about the cat spirit being the spirit that was tricked by the rat into not coming to the dinner, and thus is not a part of the Zodiac in general.
Once right? a rat, always a rat.
Man, I tell you, and it's tragic that I'm like, oh, I want this man to be happy, but he's a rat. Anyways, so that's one of the things, like, you get the story about that. And Toru is like, yeah, I want to be the year of the cat because he got suckered. And that sounds cool. And now we find out about the spirits being sort of real, and the cat spirit does exist, but is not part of the family, like the inner family, and accepted as a part of the Zodiac.
Yeah.
And this sucker, Yuki, is the rat spirit. And they're going at odds because of like the story and like preconceived notions without really taking into account like each other as individuals. But that's one of the things we see happen as the show progresses, you know? That they both understand the struggle of life and that they are both in this predicament by not of their own choice. And while they superficially hate each other, like, I'm gonna just kill you. I'm gonna hate you till I die. I'm gonna hate you till after I die. It's one of those deals where they get where the other one's at, even if they're not gonna say it.
Yeah, of course. It's like a mutual respect among enemies. It's like, you know, I definitely don't love you, but I understand where you're coming from because I'm in that same boat. So there's like that, in a perfect world, they're, the best way I feel like is they're two different sides to the same coin. Like, they, neither of them are okay, but they're both not, like, Kyo doesn't have a family, and Yuki was never loved by his family. So, and they both want what the other one has without realizing what they had is the best way I feel like I can describe it without giving away too much.
Yeah, I know. From the first season, it's totally that vibe where Kyo's goal is to beat up Yuki, the rat spirit, and like join the main family as his like responsibility as the cat. Is that what he wants? I don't know. He wants to beat up Kyo, or he wants to beat up Yuki to like prove his worth. But does he really want to join the main family? I don't know. And equally, Yuki wants to leave the main family from the like crazy shit they've done to him. And he envies Kyo because it's not something he's ever had to deal with. Like the perils that Yuki has gone through is not the perils that Kyo has gone through. And he wants to like not have to do this ever again. No. Different struggles, but like it's seeing that life is hard no matter what. That is like the big thing.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And so Toru is a character who's kind of happy and bubbly and just really nurturing because she's been through so much in life. Like we said, she lost her mother recently, so she's homeless. And she lost her father when she was really young. So she has been, as you would say, very, I don't want to say lost, but she's been very, she understands what it's like to lose. She's very, I feel like, thankful for what she has to the point where anybody who gets a cold, she's always like, oh, no, you got to make sure you take care of yourself and do all this.
Well, and part of that plays into like how her life has been. You know, like the cold specifically, her father died at his young age because he got a cold from what like she had heard and never recovered from it. So she's like super wary about people being sick. And her mother died recently, and her grandfather on her father's side took her in. But the reason she's homeless is because like a house remodel or something. Like it's not that he doesn't care about her. It's that there was no real option for her to live anywhere else. So yes. She, like grandpa was like, hey, go live with your friends. She's like, okay, winky face, and doesn't put a burden on her friends because like one's got a large family and one has a tiny apartment. She's like, I'll just live in a tent and be copacetic, except not because there's monsoons and you're in a tent.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like it's like Shirone's first reaction upon seeing her living in the tent is just to bust out in laughter, which is, you know, wrong, but also quite hilarious to me, if I do say so myself.
Oh, it's pretty great.
But yeah, so Toru is like a nurturing figure, and she works her way through the rest of the Soma family as in inner kind of helping them deal with their demons, like showing them that, hey, who you are is who you are, and there's somebody out there who's going to love you for that. And let me show you by being the first person who loves you for who you are. Because a lot of them, there's been, and Fruits Basket deals with a lot of, I feel like, mental and verbal abuse opposed to physical abuse, which is something that's really crazy that, like, definitely not something you would expect going into the show. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, hey, I'm watching the show, you know, so I can have like a cool slice of life anime and just not worry about it. And then you get to like the episode where, you know, you get the backstory of gangster friend who like Toru's mom saved from a gang fight. And you're just like, I wasn't expecting these feels. Like,
man, and the fact that it was her struggle of seeing Toru's mom as this like legend of girl gangsters, and then she meets her and she's like, oh, you're just a doting parent, what a disappointment. And then like goes through the struggle of reconciling what, like, one, like her expectations in life, and two, what she actually is wanting. It's like, wow, that's that shit right there.
No, 100%, man. Like, 100%. And then you even have things where, like, the ending was so profound for me because I felt like it was one of those things where you watch it and it's like just the overall message of, I'm trying to find the right way to say this without giving away too much, but Kyo is, you see why he's so angry, because he has a literal demon or monster inside of him that he transforms into his true form of the cat. And he reeks, he's disgusting, like, and he knows that he knows that he's a monster. And his thing wasn't that he was a monster. It was that he wanted someone to love him despite he was a monster, not act like he wasn't a monster, because that was ignoring who he was.
Yeah, it was ignoring both parts of him, you know. Not that he wanted to be loved for a monster, but he wanted the monster that is in him to be acknowledged as there. Like, his mother would always check that the rosary that kept the monster at bay was, like, still there multiple times a day. Like, when she came and saw him, she would check the rosary and see that he wasn't going to transform into a monster. And he noticed that as a kid. So now he's like, she didn't acknowledge the fact that the monster was a part of me.
Yes.
And that is what I want. I want to be good and whatever I already am, to be accepted and acknowledged for what it is, good, bad, or otherwise, and then we can proceed. And yes, man, when he slapped her, I was like, fuck.
Yeah, man. It was wild. Like, it was, I was like, okay. He's like, I'm going to hurt you so bad that you'll never want anything to do with me, so you won't have to suffer, like, of feeling sorry for me, which is like a double-edged sword to me, because I'm like, wow, that's, like, really messed up. But at the same time, wow, like, you know, I feel, I don't, like, I'm not a super, you know, psychology, like, social worker type person, so I can't say anything if that's, like, toxic behavior or not. But just as, like, knowing that he craves her so much, but he's willing to do something so she will never see him again, so she doesn't have to feel that pain of, like, what he imagines people would feel, that's crazy. Like, and going back to the thing with his mom, like, what Kyo said, which was so profound to me, he's like, I wouldn't have mind if she was scared of me, because at least that way she would have been looking at me. And I was like, holy shit. Like, the writer of this, like, and I just wonder, I'm like, are you okay? It's one of those things, like, people who write Evangelions, like, it feels like there is some real world experience in this, like, some crazy writing.
Yeah, man. And, like, what got me is, like, this entire last, like, couple of three episodes about Kyo, we learn about Kazuma Soma, who, yeah, everyone his calls
adopted father, Shisho.
Yeah, yeah. Shisho being, like, you know, master, because he was, like, everyone's karate trainer.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, what really got me was he was like, Kyo was like, nah, man, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you you're my dad because I'm too much of a burden and I don't deserve that. And Kazuma is like, when I initially took them in, it was like an atonement burden. So that, because I treated my grandfather like garbage, because Kazuma's grandfather was the last cat spirit.
Yeah.
So he was like, I saw how the world treated this man, and this man was nothing but kind to me in our one interaction. So me taking in Kyo is my way to atone for, you know, mistreating my grandfather. But he was like, after I got to know Kyo, I fell in love with him, like a father. But he heard Kyo lash out and be like, don't ever call that man my dad. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah, that hurt me because I'm like, dang, you could have been here so much sooner, but you had to go and like, you had to go and mess it up. Like,
on that. And part of that is 100% because they aren't on the same page. Because in that same breath, he's not my dad. He goes, I don't deserve a dad. Like, Shisho.
Yeah.
And Shisho's like, what? What are you saying? I'm not your dad.
Yeah. And it's wild because it's like, that's what abuse will do from a young age. Because we see in the flashbacks that Kyo was abused. Like, he literally, his mother, from what we can infer, committed suicide. And everyone told him it was because he was a cat spirit. It's because you were born. Like, you killed your mother. Like, when your own father tells you that, it, like, and he's like, I know I, it was literally him against the world at such a young age. And I was like, yo, like, this is crazy. And, like, speaking on the other Zodiacs as well, you had, wow, how did the Year of the Rabbit, whose name has escaped me at the moment. Yeah.
Yuki?
No, the Year of the Rabbit.
Oh, the rabbit. Oh, hell's blazes. Hold on.
Mochi.
Momiji.
Yeah, Momiji. His backstory with, like, his mom hating him so much, like, that she tried to, like, kill herself for giving birth to him and calling him a monster, that they had to remove her memory, like alter her memories so that he never exists, so the mom could be okay. And so he sees his family and his sister that he's never met, like his baby sister, like he can, like they can never know who he is, otherwise she'll relapse. I'm just like, this is tragic. Like, this is very tragic.
And that's the big part with this show, is like, you see all of these like familial relationships and personal relationships, like the friends, you know, we talked about the one friend,
Asuka. No, not Asuka. Why did I say Asuka?
Ao-chan.
Yeah. Ao-chan. Like,
yeah. The one that was the female hoodlum.
Yeah, long blonde hair. That's Ao-chan. Ao-chan.
Ao-tani, yeah. Like, we had her story with how she came into, like, talking to Han, Toru. And then we also had the other friend, Hanajima. Where yeah, she was like, I've got special powers. And then I tried to murder a boy because he was bullying me. It's like back to back, those two stories about how these friends came to be best friends. Like, shit.
Yes,
like, we saw an episode about like bullying on a younger stage. But like to see this was like, yeah, we gonna cover it again. But to make sure you know.
Yeah, man, like Saki's backstory, like you said, was crazy how she thought she deserved pain and deserved to be bullied because she's like almost killed a kid. Like, you know. And the fact that that supernatural element does exist, because with this show, you sometimes forget it has a supernatural element because of how real everything feels. And then it does things like this, which bring you back. And just in episode 19, too, with the Year of the Monkey, who the monkey feels like he is a screw up, like just with everything he does, like he feels like he'll never be good enough. So he goes and he's always constantly apologizing to everybody, and to the fact where he, like Ritsu Soma. He has that moment where he's on the roof and he's like, what's the point? Like, you know, I'm a screw up. And Toru's like, no, like your life is important to live because there will always be a chance to do better. But you will never know that if you end it right now. It's okay because someone might needing you. might need you one day. Might need you, Lord. So, definitely, all the characters in Fruits Baskets are amazing. I feel like they relate to something. Like, everything relates to something, I feel like.
Yeah. All of these experiences, even though there's like a facet of supernatural stuff, like, all of these settings are real things you can deal with and you recognize as stuff you can see in your own life. And that's so big.
Of course. Like, and I feel like the theme, like the overall theme of Fruits Basket season one is that, you know, it's okay to be who you are. Like, there is always someone out there for you. Just, you know, accept who you are because you are who you are for a reason, and that's okay. At least that's what I feel like the theme of season one is.
Yeah, man. I could see it. I could totally see it. You know, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what has happened to you, the big thing is you got to make the call for you, no matter what that is. If it's wearing women's clothing, that's what it is. And you got to be okay with that. You got to make the call for you, and you got to be okay with it. Because, like, shit, no one else is going to live your life.
True, true. Like,
speaking on the monkey spirit.
Yeah, Ritsu. Yeah, I was like,
but also, you know, also Momiji. You know,
Momiji. Yeah,
yeah. The rabbit spirit, where he was like, yeah, the fucking girl's uniform looks cuter on me. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
like, okay, just, bruh, live your life.
Like, and the fact that of Hatsu or Haruzu. Lord, messing up the names here. The ox, Hatsu. I'm just calling him Hatsu because Haru.
Yeah.
Haru. Yeah. Like his.
Hatsuhara?
Yeah, Hatsuhara. Butcher that. But the fact that he's like, yeah, I have gray hair. Nothing I can do about it. Can't really be like, I'm a cow. So, yeah. He's like, he's like, everybody thinks I'm weird anyway. So, might as well just dress and do what I want.
When he took the student council president into the bathroom to show him it was natural, I was like, bruh, really? This is what the fuck we're doing?
And Toru was like, what did he do? Just like,
if you'd like to find out, winky face.
His like whole introduction though on that bicycle in that like trench coat get up, and the girls were like, who is that? He's so cute. And then
he hop on a bicycle and like pedal away furiously. Like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I love how it blends the comedy and the like the seriousness. Like, I like that balance that it has. I feel like it does a great job of balancing those two.
Totally. Now let's talk about the music right quick before we wrap it up. So I'll be honest. The OP didn't really do it for me for either one of the first season. I haven't listened to season two yet, but for the first season, neither one of them really did it for me. They were sort of generic, which doesn't take away from the message of the show, but it just doesn't stick out as like unique.
You know, and I'm gonna be honest with you. I feel like that is a fact that most people felt because season two, they came a lot harder. And I feel like that was due to, I don't want to say the lack in the first season, but I definitely feel like it was better.
Which is good to hear, you know, that in the season two, they take that into consideration a little more. Not that it was a bad call for the music they chose, right?
Yeah.
But it just didn't stick out to me as, like, that's a banger I'm going to know when I listen to it. Because in all honesty, when am I ever going to listen to those songs again?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I listen to everything always. What did you think of the endings?
Same boat for me. You know, they didn't stick out to me as like an Inuyasha with the Ferris wheel and the ribbon.
Well, that's iconic there. That's very few things. Very few things do that. So that's
but like, iconic. You know, same boat. But the music in general, like for the storytelling facets, always on point.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, especially the one where, like, it's Kyo having the flashback, like, at the river. And it's, mm-hmm. like, that OST, I love it. Like, the Rising one, I'll have to, trying to figure out the names of these. It's always so hard for me, because I got to go through after the OST comes out and be like, click, was this one? No. Was this one? No. But it's kind of like the somber one. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, the big wind instrument and, like, strings one? That one, man.
Now, in me bitching about these, the OPs and the EDs not being unique, they do an incredible job of blending the end of the episode in with, like, the dramatic point right before the ending hits. Like, the little overlap of the, like, the ending music on top of, like, the last scene of the episode. Like, that's really well done. It fits incredibly well.
Yeah, man. Like, I agree. And I gotta say, with, I'm a bold claim, I feel like season two isn't, I don't even want to say far better, because I feel like season one is great, but like season two is definitely the stronger. Like, not that this was even weak, because I don't want to undermine season one at all, but season two took it to that next level. Like, with, I feel like, everything.
Which I'm hyped for, man.
Like, I'm excited for you to watch it. Like, you are the true MVP and now the number one on the best friends list because you have watched this. So, hope everyone knows that. You heard it here,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, this is the reason. I see.
Not because of all the years of dedication and hard work and always been for me. Because
yes. I watched Fruits Basket fucking the first out of the boys.
Yes.
Yeah. And Chris, I don't blame it.
And Chris is next because he's seen the OG. He just has to watch the second one. So, Chris, tell your brother that he's demoted.
My God. Well, this is a wrap for Fruits Basket Season 1. You can catch this episode along with all of the other random stuff we put out on podcast terms on all of your podcatchers. We're talking Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Overcast, all of whatever you want to catch it on, you can get it there. Or on Twitter, at your TSP, that's URTSP. And Kai, you've got a Twitter too.
Yes, you can find me at Static Dreads with a Z, where I will be reposting your typical challenge protagonist. And also, you know, just trying to get engaged with you guys, talk to you, meet you, trying to get the ball rolling so we can be great. So help us be great so I can one day make you happy by sending you a donut in the mail for subscribing to our Patreon.
Bruh, a donut in the mail. That's going to be stale AF. But we'll catch y'all next week for more Your Typical Shonen Protagonist. Kai, what are we doing next week? Are we doing Naruto or are we doing season two of...
I'm going to give you a break. Let's do Naruto.
Okay. We'll do Naruto in like the first season overview, because we're going to milk the shit out of that. All coming up next week on Your Typical Shonen Protagonist.